Earlier this week, some UNC faculty published an open letter in the Daily Tar Heel criticizing ongoing politicization of higher education in North Carolina, specifically pointing to recent efforts at the state legislature. Right now, there are two bills in the North Carolina House that one aims to prospectively eliminate academic tenure, while another also would require a new class on American history be included across all UNC system schools' curriculum. This also comes after more and more examples of political talking points making their ways into the actions of the Board of Governors and Board of Trustees for the university. And all in all, with this letter, more than 600 faculty members signed it. And joining me in the studio to talk a little bit more about the effort and their concerns that sparked this letter are Jay Smith, a history professor at UNC, and Max Eichner, who is a law professor at the School of Law. Jay and Max, thank you so much for stopping in to speak with us today. How are you?
Great. Nice to be here.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So, Jay, I'll start with you. Generally, our audience knows what tenure is. I'm sure our listenership, it is not an unfamiliar topic, but I'm hoping you could describe it in your own words, and specifically for people who aren't around UNC, what tenure looks like at Carolina.
Well, tenure is granted to a certain number of individuals, something like half, I suppose, at UNC are tenured, roughly. But the granting of tenure follows an arduous process through which the individual who's being considered for tenure has to prove his or her research chops, has to show that he or she is an effective teacher, is respected by other people in the field across the country and internationally in many cases, and only after having been vetted both internally by a committee that's constituted to consider the credentials of this person and externally by a number of expert referees, between four and six usually, depends unit to unit. Only after that, and after a departmental vote, and after the provost has signed off on the decision, is the person given tenure. And tenure brings with it, most important of all, I would say, protection from political influence. You're able to, if you have tenure, you're able to teach what you want the way you want to teach it. You're able to pursue your research agenda, no matter how uncomfortable it might make some people. And this is just, it's good for everyone. It's good for the students in the classroom. It's good for the intellectual vitality of the department and the university. And it's good for the state of North Carolina, because having those protections means that a place like UNC Chapel Hill is attractive to top flight scholars.
And now with that in our audience's mind, what was your reaction when you first heard of House Bill 715, again, which is aiming to, and this is in the bill, prospectively eliminate academic tenure?
Yeah, well, I was just talking with Max about this yesterday. My very first reaction was, oh my God, we'll never recruit anybody to come to UNC Chapel Hill again. This is the end. This is the end of the university. Because no one's going to want to come here. We would be a complete outlier in the world of higher education, along with a couple of other states that are apparently considering the same draconian measure. Somebody finishing up their PhD at MIT or Harvard or Stanford or wherever is not going to want to come to Chapel Hill without that protection. So it's just potentially devastating for staffing our courses and being an outstanding Research One university. It's just not possible to sustain it without tenure.
And this would be the case across all UNC system schools, since this would be a state law. Same question to you, Max. What was your reaction when you first heard of this bill?
I agree with Jay. It was shock. I think we make too much of the university rankings, but there's no question that rankings matter, and our rankings would plummet. It would be impossible to get faculty to come here when they have other options, other places.
Once again, your reaction to it has been penning this letter, which was published in the Daily Tar Heel. 600 other faculty members signed onto it, and it continues this conversation that it seems that has been happening not only on UNC's campus, but across the state and across the country in some ways, as you mentioned, Jay, for the last few years. Max, why do you believe that there are more politicians, more people who are targeting tenure, whether to decrease it or eliminate it? Why do you think that has become more common?
What a good question. I think there are a few reasons. One reason is I think some politicians have decided that it is in their interest to attack the university for short-term political gain. And, you know, I think that is extremely short-sighted. The University of North Carolina is and has long been the University of the People. It is a university system that has helped make this state great, vibrant, and an excellent place for employers to move. And attacking the university serves no one's long-term gain. We should all be looking to lift up the university rather than have the General Assembly lobbing potshots at us.
Yeah. Jay, do you want to build off that?
Agreed. In particular, it seems that the university has become a target for, well, let's be frank, for the right wing, for right wing politicians in North Carolina and across the country, because they're determined to wage a culture war that they find, as Max put it, politically beneficial. It's a way to score easy points politically without taking into account the long-term costs of the kind of rhetoric they're deploying. To those of us who work at the university, it just feels so peculiar, so alien, that they would be coming after us, because the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill works really well. And it's done its job really well in this state for well over a century. It's been a driver of economic growth, of social progress in all sorts of ways. You know, we anchor, help to anchor the research triangle. That's not an accident that so many businesses were interested in relocating to the center of North Carolina. It's because we're here and Duke and NC State are here. It just seems to me, to a lot of us, I think, that they're devising a solution to a problem that does not exist.
We're speaking with Jay Smith and Max Eichner, two UNC faculty members who penned this open letter published in the Daily Tar Heel. You can also find it on our website, chapelboro.com. And the other part of this letter, we were talking about House Bill 715, which, again, is looking to, in part, eliminate academic tenure. But there's also this other bill in the House that would require a course specifically on American history, focused very much on the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. That would be required across all UNC system schools. And in the letter, you both say that this would be an attack on academic freedom. Max, I'm hoping that you can kind of expand on why that is. I think a lot of people maybe on the surface level would say, oh, those are important things for people to learn about. But one, I imagine that is already taught in some form at UNC. Two, you know, what do you believe the message to academics is that the General Assembly is saying this must be taught in this way?
First, let me say, I agree with you that everybody who leaves college should be learning the things that are set out in this bill, and that reading the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and Martin Luther King's writings are important. I see this as the opening gambit in an assault against the university. In the U.S., one of the things that has made our universities great is we have long had a kind of symbolic wall between the legislature and the university, and that has made universities vibrant. It has made sure that students are learning what they're learning from experts in their field who are choosing what they should be learning based on expertise and experience with teaching students. What the General Assembly is doing with this bill is beginning to dictate, based on what politicians think is right, students should be learning. And I think that is a very dangerous opening move.
Might sound a little immodest for us to point this out, but we are experts. This is why we were hired to come here. We spent years investigating our disciplines before we were ever granted tenure. And we're in the habit of developing our courses in the way that we think best reflects the latest learning and teaching in the field, the latest knowledge in the field. And that means we have to have the ability to determine which texts are assigned, how students' understanding of those texts will be evaluated, what will be on the final exam and so on. And the legislature is proposing to substitute their own political inclinations for our expertise. And it's just, it doesn't make sense, really. Even the legislature ought to think twice before substituting politics for expertise, given the vagaries of politics. I mean, 10 years from now, who knows who will be in charge of the legislature? Would they want Democrats to be deciding how we'll teach our courses and what will be taught and what will be excluded? Would they want that? I think not. So it's best to maintain that wall, the insulating the university from outside political influences.
Yeah, and I think your word choice there is interesting too. It wouldn't even necessarily be deciding; it would be dictating in some way based on what this bill would propose. Once again, we're speaking with Jay Smith and Max Eichner, and we have a couple minutes left. I want to mention that we've done some reporting at the faculty council meeting that was held at the end of this month. Both Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz and Provost Chris Clemens said they both are also similarly concerned about these two bills and said that they will do whatever they can to, kind of lobby against it and to try and convince and educate state lawmakers why this would be a bad decision. Jay, how do you feel and how do other faculty feel hearing that support? But also, I can follow up with your feelings on this too, Max. How are faculty feeling just in general at UNC right now?
Well, I think faculty are pretty demoralized at the moment. I mean, the last few years have been really difficult because we've had controversy after controversy. It has seemed to many of us that our own boards are hostile to us, are working against us, are not respecting our views, are not listening to us. It's been tough. It's been a tough few years. And yeah, it is heartening to hear the chancellor and the provost speak up in this way on this issue, because I suppose for understandable reasons they've generally tried to find a middle way between faculty concerns and how the boards are acting at any given moment. They have to be politically cautious, but this is an instance where the legislature has just clearly stepped over the line. This is a bright red line that has to be defended. And, I'm delighted that the chancellor and the provost seem to recognize that.
Faculty are feeling embattled. They are being pulled away from focusing on teaching and focusing on their writing and service to pay attention to the attacks that are happening on the university. Our boards and our legislature are supposed to act as stewards for the university, and they are supposed to be working in concert with the faculty for joint governance of the university. That's not at all what's been happening. You haven't raised the issue of the School of Civic Life and Leadership that has
a whole other can of worms
by the Board of Trustees, which was also included in our letter. But our Board of Trustees, without consulting university faculty or university administration, decided by themselves that we should have an entirely new school that would cost millions of dollars, and they proposed this, passed this, they hired a PR firm and they announced it on Fox News and in the Wall Street Journal without talking to faculty. That undermines every principle of joint governance that our boards are supposed to stand by. Instead, what they're doing is lobbying political pot shots that can't serve the university well in the long term.
Well, I'm afraid that we have to wrap up. I will say that these two bills in the state legislature, they are still in the very early processes, have not made it over to the Senate, but certainly something worth following over time. And we'll see how much of a difference this open letter that you two have published and 600 other faculty members have signed on to certainly seems to be calling attention to it. Is there anything else that you both think is important for our audience to keep in mind as, the semester wraps up and we head into the summer from the faculty point of view?
675. That's how many signatures we collected.
Yeah. Okay, so close to 700,
close
right?
To 700. Yeah. Well, no, I'll just add, I mean, I suppose it's pretty obvious, but we sure would like public support. We would like the public to rally around the university, contact their legislators and other interested parties to let them know that they cherish the University of North Carolina and the UNC system and want to see it succeed.
We are just trying to do our jobs. That has become far more difficult during the last few years. And one issue that has not come up directly as we've discussed this is that much of what's happening seems to be a concerted effort to keep faculty from talking about matters of public concern, and particularly when people's expertise leads them to speak out against particular public policies. That is a very dangerous road for us to be going down. We need the public to stand up at this point for the university if we're not going to continue to travel down this road.
Well, again, this letter that both Jay Smith and Max Eichner have penned and that many other faculty have signed on to, you can find on chapelboro.com and published this week in the Daily Tar Heel. Jay and Max, thank you so much for taking the time to stop in and share these thoughts with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.